All right, everybody, it's 4:30, time to call to order the Town of Scary Bay Park and Recreation Committee meeting. Can I get roll call, please?
Roll call to take a second. Deborah Cho, Alderman President.
Thank you. This is the time for public comments. If you wish to address us for any item that's not on today's agenda, this is your opportunity. As any members of the public in the audience want to address something that's not on the agenda? Do we have anyone online?
No hands raised.
And we'll close public comments. Get a motion to approve draft minutes from last meeting.
Yeah, motion to approve draft minutes.
I will second that. All in favor? Aye. Okay. Let's move forward to E1, discussion regarding changing chair and vice chair designations.
I'll open that up. Chair and vice chair discuss amongst themselves.
Would you like to change our designations?
Yeah, absolutely. So having the board chair, it would be very beneficial for the committees to be run by non-board chair. And I think that is excellent that you agreed that you would take over.
I have no problem doing that.
Okay.
Is there any public comments about us changing designations? Okay, hearing none, let's move to E2, July 3rd meeting.
Yeah, so this year, July 3rd, the meeting falls right before July 4th holiday. This is typically a time where many people take vacations, so staff is proposing that we cancel all meetings on July 4th.
I don't have an issue with that.
I don't either.
And I'll be going to the board. Thank you.
Perfect.
I assume no members of the public have an issue with that. And then moving forward, E3, regarding restriping. Here we go.
I don't think anybody has any interest in that one.
Good afternoon. So I have a staff report before you. I think I'm just going to kind of give a recap, let you know how we're going to run this to keep things running smoothly. So in April of 2022, we brought before the Park and Recreation Committee, at the request of Discovery Bay Recreation and Sports, the idea of taking two of our back tennis courts and converting them or painting permanent lines to make them dual-use tennis and pickleball. Again, it was brought before the committee. I just kind of went through, re-listened to those minutes, read the notes, and kind of highlighted some of the pros and cons that all parties discussed. Then what I'll do is kind of go over this and then invite people to come up and speak, and I'll just kind of, as it's done, keep the meeting rolling along.
Sorry to interrupt, real quick, just for clarification.
Yeah.
We currently have how many tennis courts and how many pickleball courts?
We have 6 tennis courts and 6 pickleball courts at the community center and at Cornell Park, and they were just done this week. I don't know if you got a chance to see them, but they're beautiful.
They came up gorgeous.
At Cornell Park, we have 2 pickleball courts and 1 tennis court.
Thank you.
You are welcome. So some of the great ideas and options that were brought up for having dual lines is that pickleball is gaining popularity and is one of the fastest growing sports that people have to wait to play on Saturday mornings. It makes people happy, easy to learn, creates a sense of community, and striving to keep the player rotation fluid and fast. Some of the things that people that are opposed to it discussed were the fact that the high school tennis students use the courts here for practice. The tennis courts may not always be busy on a Saturday, but they are during the week at school time. So if you come on any different day of the week, the courts are all being used, in addition to being rented by USTA leagues. They rent those courts. USTA requires Phil's facility to have 6 court minimum. It would prohibit sanctioned tournaments. Discovery Bay is part of the Diablo North region, so putting down dual lines would be a hindrance and may disqualify Discovery Bay from being part of that, and would also disqualify the town from any grant opportunities. Some other discussion points are that Creekside Park in Brentwood is building permanent pickleball courts. Once complete, should lessen the amount of people playing in Discovery Bay. Pickleball courts are busiest one day a week, primarily from 8 to 12 on Saturdays. Perhaps players can stagger times. Again, this is listening, just some of the key points from last time to refresh everyone's memory. Cornell Park have been resurfaced now. Total count, which we just went over, 6 tennis here, 6 pickleball, 2 pickleball at Cornell, and 1 tennis at Cornell. So since that meeting in April, Discovery Bay Recreation and Sports has requested that we revisit this and discuss it. The decision at the April 2022 meeting by the committee was to keep things as are, to keep everything equitable and fair. So with all that being said, what I would like to do first is, if there's anything I haven't covered, people want to come, go ahead.
I just have one clarifying question. So what is the current relationship that we have with the pickleball club? Do they rent the courts from us? Do we give the, how does that work that on Saturday mornings?
No, they do not. They're open play for anybody that wants to use the courts.
Okay.
Yeah. They've worked out a rotation and people rotated, but no, there's
nothing.
They're not rented. Correct.
And then did USTA specify that if they were marked dual use, they would not be available for?
Correct. That is correct. So what I would like to do now, if you don't have any, and I'll be up to answer more questions in between, of course, is if the pickleball has somebody, is there one person that's representing the group? Oh, hey, Chris. So I'll invite Chris up, and then when he's done, we'll kind of go down the order of who I have. Oh, I'm sorry, Chris Sullivan, president of Discovery Bay Recreation and Sports.
Thank you.
Hey, Chris.
Hi. Thank you very much for allowing us on the agenda. Thank you, Monica. We've been working really well together, and I think the synopsis of 2 years ago is spot on. I think, and by the way, thank you very much for redoing the Cornell course. They look great. And adding those two courts is something that's been different from 2 years ago until now. So I guess my proposal to start off would be, instead of painting lines on 2 tennis courts, we could probably get away with 1. And that would be, our choice would obviously be probably court number 2. But the tennis players, I would think, may not want that, but whatever court they pick is the best. The other thing that has changed since 2 years ago is the USTA position on painting courts, pickleball courts, and allowing them for sanctioned tournaments. I didn't have time to make a copy of it, but it's just a quick paragraph I'll read, and this is from the United States Tennis Association. It says, following discussion, the committee recommends to approve that courts with pickleball lines may still be used for sanctioned events. However, whenever possible, courts without any lines should be prioritized. The suggestion was also made to make sure that the higher level matches, finals, playoffs, etc., are not being played on the course with blended lines. The committee recommends adding the requirement that the information about utilizing courts with blended lines be added on the tournament's homepage. There's another very technical, not that technical, but approval from USTA is that if the pickleball courts are being painted on a tennis court, the lines have to be at least 3.5 inches away from the tennis lines, and the color of the pickleball lines have to be in the same family color as the tennis courts. I didn't bring the specs on that, but I brought a picture of what that might look like. And so the U.S. Tennis Association has since approved that since last week, that they can be used for sanctioned tennis court. The other thing is just pure real estate. I know it's 6 and 6, but pure real estate is, you know, 6 tennis courts, 2 tennis courts, equals 6 pickleball courts as far as square footage. And again, probably just reiterating that the number of pickleball players and tennis players in a given week, I don't know if a report was ever done, I think we might have talked about that before, but it's about 21, my guess, at least in Discovery Bay. And so then that's why we're here, and the Cornell Parks, the new courts definitely will help, but the painted courts, it's pickleball, but it's also a community, it's a social gathering, so to have to go down the street and play at the Cornell courts, acceptable, but just, it takes away from the whole point of getting Saturday together, the community, and also the pickleball club as a whole. That's their main, you know, their main day is on Saturday. So ultimately, we are just, you know, at this point requesting two pickleball lines, one on each side of one court, one tennis court. So, thank you.
Thank you.
So now we're just, and I don't know, is there anyone here for tennis that was going to speak? No one in the audience? Anyone online? Okay. So, let's keep going. So I received an email last night. Can you hear me better now? I received an email last night, so it was added as additional material. It came in at 9:33 p.m. from NorCal USTA. They would like me to read something. They wanted to be here. They couldn't. They have a training. They attached a report for Discovery Day. To note, the average adult players that played in the last 12 months in Discovery Day is 6.32%, and California average is 8.57%. There are 15.77% of kids that have played tennis in the last 12 months in Discovery Bay, and the average is 14.46. There have been a lot of youth participation in the town of Discovery Bay, which is the most we've seen in a long time. It would be concerning if there's no place for these kids to continue their development. They've attached guideline statements. They did attach something that Chris is referring to, and it is part of the additional packet, but it's done by options. So what they consider, from my understanding, and I don't work for USTA, but in having conversations with them, is that if you have a sports-specific site, there are certain rules, which we are not. We're not a sports complex. If you have non-traditional space, that has a different set of qualifications. And then there was a third one, let's see. Shared use of courts. So based on where we rank, it is not their recommendation to have dual use lines. Any other questions at this point?
Okay, so it's not their recommendation, but based on their statement, would that preclude them from holding any tournaments?
That is what they told me, that we have to have, they have to have so many courts. I wish they could have been here because, again, I don't work for them. I'm trying to be fair amongst everyone and just present the facts. So their stance, from what I was told by them, is that they do stand with what they said back in 2022, that has not changed.
So in the last 5 years, 7 years, have they held any tournaments at this facility?
UST? Yeah, they're rented every Saturday until...
No tournaments.
Yeah, specifically, where have there been any tournaments that you
they
know...
They rent our courts.
Okay, so USTA rents our
courts. Whether or not they are calling it a tournament, what their technical name is, they fill out our paperwork, they pay, and they rent the courts. For matches, tournaments, whatever it is that they're renting it for. We don't ask specifically. What I know is that they rent our courts. And they are quite busy when they, like I said, this coming up every Saturday is rented until I think mid-June. And some Sundays.
Another point I wanted to make is that tennis will always have priority on that court. So if there's a tennis tournament, or a tennis player, even a casual player playing on that court, we would not use that court for pickleball.
Understood. I'm just trying to get a grasp of how much use. I know how much use the pickleball courts get. I don't know how much use the tennis courts, but I'm not here like you are. So
right. They're used on Saturdays and Sundays.
Okay. And
they are also used. So because you might be here on a Saturday, if they don't happen to be rented. If you were here perhaps on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday after school, they are being used. We also use them for our youth program, which is not ideal for dual lines.
you have more questions?
I don't. I'm troubled with the conflicting statements.
Is there any discussion for the floor?
There will be. I said I follow for Chris. If Chris, come back to the podium.
Yeah.
You guys, second. So I'm just trying to understand though. So what is the? I know you guys want more courts, but help me understand why there is a lack of courts for you guys.
Just because on Saturday, there's probably 50 to 60 people, and 24 people can play on 6 courts at any given time. So that means there's another, let's call it 25 to 30 people waiting. It gets discouraging when you play a game.
And how long is an average game?
What's that?
How long is it?
15, 20 minutes.
Fast games.
Yeah, so they're waiting at least, probably I would say 2 games. So maybe a half an hour to 40 minutes to play 20 off, 20 on, 40 off, 20 on, 40 off.
Chris, it's not just Saturday. It's all. It's all. They're maxed up this Wednesday. They're maxed up
Tuesday.
Okay, I'm not here during the week. I'm locked on Saturday, so. And then, I know the kids go out there and were doing reports for a while on how many people on any given day are playing tennis versus pickleball. I don't know if that was done or if that's what you were referring to.
No, those came from USTA.
Yeah.
Not mine.
Okay.
No, you see a young person who went out and counted.
I just explained, yes, but those numbers were not for me.
No. You have those numbers.
Yes, I don't have them with me.
Yeah, so anyway.
That would be an important issue to
The main thing is we'd always give tennis the priority, but I would say that 3 years I've been playing out here, I have never seen all 6 tennis courts being used, unless it's rented,
never
barbecue
never.
Thing, and never that last one. I know there's some. Brian, you had mentioned the maintenance of that last court had some potential weeds on it or something. So I just don't think it's being used. So I thought, hey, why not put a couple of pickleball courts on there?
Sure, no, sure.
Yeah.
I don't have any more follow-up questions unless you do.
No, I don't.
Is there now, once this opens up to public comments, if anyone wants to come up and say anything, we can do that.
Hey, that's Robert. One other thing, too, Barbara, I just wanted to make one more point. One other thing, the first Saturday of every month, I think we've talked about this before, or reiterated, we do have a new player clinic that goes from about 11 to 1 for a couple of hours. We usually use 2 of the courts to introduce pickleball to new members and new people, so they feel comfortable coming on. And the other thing that's and I'm not a tennis player, so I might be stepping over the line here, but when pickleball players come to play pickleball, they can play it anytime they want with us. I think with tennis players, it's very difficult to come in and just start playing tennis with strangers, because I think the people that come are probably in pairs. For a single person to come, it's very helpful. And we do offer that the first Saturday of every month, which is great for the community. But that's, again, we just lost 2 courts. We've already got 50 people on 6, now we got 50 people on 4 because the new players come in. So it would help with the pressure. And then obviously, once the courts are painted, we have temporary nets that we go out there set up, and then we can have more people play.
One of the things I want to talk about is that when they are public courts, and when people come that we don't know that are not part of our club, or we don't recognize, we welcome them. We tell them, we give them the whole scoop, how they get to play. There's nobody needs to have their friends with them. They can play with anyone. So we welcome the public to come in. It's not uncommon, as we spoke at the last meeting that we had about this issue, was, I gave you folks some information about that. I wish I had another copy to give out. That it's not uncommon across the United States to have dual use for courts. A lot of the colleges have it. And one other thing I'd like to make note of, your sports and recreation pamphlet has dual markings on your pickleball court advertisement thing there. So I don't know, these aren't our courts, so I don't know where you guys got that picture, but if you're advertising that, people are gonna think, what's the, it's not a big deal about it. And pickleball players are used to playing on dual-use courts. There's a lot of indoor courts that are basketball courts that are converted. Basketball court can hold four pickleball courts. So, you know, honestly, I would love to see them all be dual, because that would solve the whole rain problem and having us to have tape for our tournaments. But we understand that's probably not realistic, but we'll take whatever you give us. Thank you.
Anyone else like to come up to speak? Please.
Doug Daly, I just want to find out, from the last meeting that we were here, we talked about count. I guess the city's taking count. Has that been shown to you guys or shared with us at all? Because I think it goes down to basic math. I mean, the numbers don't lie. If they've taken count and you see how many pickleball players are playing versus how many tennis, it should be simple math. So that would be my only suggestion. Let's just purely look at the numbers. I mean, I'm here 4 days a week, 3 days a week, and I see the numbers. Thank you.
Is there anyone online, Kelly?
No, there's not.
Mike, any thoughts?
So, just for clarification, we say six pickleball, six tennis. There are...
Hold on a second. Go ahead. Please go ahead.
For those of you that don't know, I think pickleball is more upcoming than tennis is. In my opinion, there have been more people that are interested in it than there is in tennis. And once again, I can come out here 3-4 days a week, just like Doug, and I don't see any tennis players except on the two courts you have over here. I know this is a big discussion for you, but the bottom line is, let's be realistic about pickleball people and more people getting involved in it, and let's consider restriking that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello. I would like to say that back in the day, I used to be a tennis player. I know all the people that play on the tennis courts. We used to have tennis teams. We don't have any tennis teams anymore. There's two courts that are the people on the courts, which leaves four courts empty that we could put up lines. Somerset, Trilogy, have painted lines. The Pickleball Association here has done so much for the community, and we can continue to grow for the community with our lessons, with the shading that we've provided, the assistance in helping lay the courts.
What else we have? Chairs.
Benches. We have done more than any of the tennis players have ever done. And we will continue to do more for our community, but we need more courts. So we're really asking for lines. And the Trilogy and Somerset, there's not a problem. If there were any tennis players, which there's not, it's not a problem to play with painted lines.
Thank you.
I'm probably your biggest renter of the pickleball court. I rent every month. Jamie, I don't know if she's here. Jamie's usually the lady I work with. So I rent the courts, and I rent the courts for 3 hours, all six courts for 3 hours. And it's been popular. We've been able to do this every month for at least the last 3 months. And I think if we had more courts, we'd be able to rent all. If we had 12 courts, we'd be able to rent all 12 courts. So I just wanted to throw that out there. That I think we'd be able to rent them, so the city will keep making money.
Chris Lincoln, I just want to let you know, in terms of how fast this sport is really growing, I am an adult leader for the Brentwood 4-H club, and I teach youth how to play pickleball. That was the first time we did it this scholastic year, but I had about 15 to 20 kids on average each time that we met. So having this facility available, you know, whenever we go play, or we go over to the other park, or we go over to Cornell, I'm sorry, not Cornell, but the one in Brentwood, it's just helpful to have the facilities being made available. So restriping the lines, I don't think that it really hurts the tennis courts. It's not hurting the USBTA group. You know, if the rules have already been changed, and that would allow for dual purpose lines, I think that it should be voted and approved so to restrike the lines.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, one more.
Hi, my name is Carolyn Duber. We all live here, you know, it's one community, and I think we're making it a we they kind of thing, which I don't really think it should be. I just looked at the property there. That's a lot of valuable real estate. You know, and you look at it and look at those tennis courts, and you can put all the numbers out you want. You can walk by almost any time, any day. There's open tennis courts. They're just not being used. The pickleball courts, people are either they're filled or there are people waiting in line. And nobody's asked to close down the tennis courts and keep it all for pickleball. You know, one or two that are dual line isn't gonna hurt anybody. And tennis would have the priority, and if they're waiting, pickleball doesn't get to use them. But in probably 9.999 times, they're open. There's one or two, and I walk by there all the time, and you just shake your head because it's just really valuable real estate that nobody's using. And I just think it ought to be looked at that. We're one community, it's one area. Let's get the most bang for our buck out of those courts.
Thank you.
Can I say one thing? I don't know if any of you play pickleball. Hi, my name is Lynette. This fits in your carry-on bag, right? The beautiful thing about pickleball is you pack your bag, you go anywhere you want, you get an application on your phone, and you can find courts to play all over the nation. That's what's making it so valuable, pickleball. Now, think about that in terms of people wanting to come to Discovery Bay. They get on their application and they say, oh, it's Saturday. I want to go play. It's open play. So if we have people coming here as a destination to play pickleball, then we're supporting not just the courts, but brick and mortar and everything else, and it becomes a destination. So it's much easier to travel, much easier to offer the ability to travel and play pickleball than tennis. Tennis, you cannot put your racket in your carry-on. It's just a given. So, in turn, that's why it's such a growth factor. It's just so easy to play in here. So, one court would really help out a lot.
Well, obviously, you guys are very passionate about it. That's there's no hidden
agenda. I want to see you out there.
I need to.
Bring Alan with you.
I know Director Carroll and I, again, are very appreciative that you guys came out and are showing your support. Both of us are huge proponents of the relationship developed because we've seen what's been reflected out there. You know, from my standpoint, though, I guess my only concern, or a couple of my concerns, is I'd like to truly understand from the USTA standpoint whether or not this is going to be affecting them or not. So is it actually for you, if you go back and verify that, and maybe having some numbers as far as true kind of occupation of the courts, so we at least have an intelligent standpoint to go off of. I like to see that first before we make a rash decision that takes away from one group, you know, for another group. So if there truly is an equal usage, and I don't know at this point, and I don't really understand what the implication is.
I mean, I feel like a one court ask is a reasonable, so I'd like to hear from USTA. If there were five dedicated and one dual stripe, does that affect their, does that affect them for their tournament play? Knowing that we're seeing conflicting, you know, we're seeing conflicting memos. And I know you spoke to them and it was like they needed to have a minimum of six. Was it a minimum of six with one being dual use, would that still affect their?
Why don't I do this? I'm gonna put that very specific question in an email and get the response in writing.
I think that would be amazing.
I can absolutely.
Okay.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Randy.
Hello.
I guess I would also really like to understand that every time I come here, I'm not clear on how often do they rent the courts for tournaments? Not just rent the courts, I mean for tournaments, because that's where the dual lines might become a problem. So are they renting Monica? Are they renting it once a year?
Yes.
I've never heard an answer. We've asked the question numerous times, but we've gotten no data.
And that's one of the actions I asked Monica to come back with some numbers as far as how often these, you know, both courts are being utilized and the percentage.
For sanctioned tournaments.
Or just in general.
Well, in general, then it's not a problem because it's just dual lines. You can practice. If it's for practice and instruction, you can use. We're not taking anything away from tennis.
Understood.
We're actually adding, and as Karen said, we're actually optimizing the real estate that's out there. You know, that's what we're trying to do.
And just so you guys understand, I'm leaning in your direction.
Yeah.
So that there's no, but I just feel for the benefit of the tennis people and the lack of information, I just want a couple more questions answered before we make a decision today.
Thank you. To make it clear as well, I've really done my due diligence to try and gather the information. I've let all parties involved between Alan and I know what's going on. When I get an email at the last minute, I do my best to represent it, but I do not work for USTA. I can only go off what they're explaining. So, wish they could have been here so they could answer your questions.
That would be amazing. And yep. It would be very beneficial for them to be very clear so we can understand.
Right.
And we know it's not good. We know
okay.
It's not
good. Well, thank you for that.
But lack of clarity makes us make a decision that I think is.
I understand. I got it. Yeah, thank you.
Hi, my name is Rick Alexander. I'm a newbie to pickleball. I started last year, and I'm also a former member of the USTA. I used to play tennis for over 20 years. And I would just add, with the USTA, I know the concern is about the tournaments. Now, as a member, when I was playing, actively playing tournaments, we would get a schedule that would show us all the tournaments throughout the year for that season. So if we can get a schedule, if it's possible, they can send you a tournament schedule, you know, list all the facilities for all the UST tournaments in the Bay Area and Northern California. That would probably help to see how many times, you know, or where they actually have their tournaments, and that we could really determine their usage here.
Thank you. Okay, I think at this point, we're going to wait to hear some more information, and this does not necessarily have to come back to this committee, because we only meet every other month, so it could come back to a board at a later point.
To bring it back to the board for their approval. We would have to get costs for striving as well, so we'll bring that as well.
Okay.
Is that what you're recommending?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
So just to be clear for everyone else, what we're recommending is we'll get the additional information that Monica can get from USTA, we'll get the pricing information from the town, and then we'll take that to a full board meeting where we will have a full board meeting vote, which will be required anyway.
As far as the pricing is concerned, we can take care of that as well.
And that sounds like something to speak with Dina.
So I want you to add in a couple other items then.
No, no, the answer.
Okay, great. Let's move forward then to item 4, another restriping issue.
You ready to go?
Yep.
Okay, good afternoon. President Kellerman, I brought this at the prior meeting regarding the striping of the community center parking lot, and at that last meeting, Director Gateau asked me to look at some additional bids to what it would cost to get rid of the roundabout, as well as what he described as punch-outs, which I used in the staff report, which are the entrances on the south and north end as you come into the parking lot, and I did that. So the first quote to have the entire lot restriped, which includes the ones that we currently have striped, it would be restriped, and then the additional ones on the north end would come out to $3,350. That would also include getting our handicapped parking spots repainted and signage up there, so they're legally enforceable, some of the parking and handicapped spot. When the contractor came out to give us a bid for the removal of the punch out and the roundabout, that quote came in at $40,075 for that. So I'm bringing that to the committee for direction. But that was the one quote that I received. I did reach out to a couple other vendors, but they didn't respond. But I have a bid for both of those items before you.
What? Good information to hold on to. I'm not sure at this point. I think that makes a wise decision to remove the punch outs, especially because we don't know the long term, not the long term, but the overall outcome with what we're doing at the community center and possible town offices and other things. So park line needs to be repaved. I think that's what we should do at this point, unless you have any thoughts on it.
Now, did they give you any indication, just for, I guess, the sheer enjoyment of it, what the $40,000 would get us in parking spots if we were to pull those?
So he guesstimated we would probably get 2 to 3 on each,
okay,
on each punch out.
Okay.
And then, depending on the configuration of what we would do for the roundabout, that would be another 3 to 4. So it wouldn't be a lot of additional parking.
No. It's almost 20.
So it'd be 6 and 3, right?
You said
9 to 10 more spots.
Okay. Well,
it's a lot.
Yeah. It's a lot of money for that particular pickup, but
I think the restriping is.
And just to be clear, the restriping is not repaving it. It is just to restripe with painted lines. And even in fact, today I took a picture of it. We had a meeting. And there was, cars parked up on the lawns and those sorts of things. So it's imperative that we get at least the striping done, so we can start doing some enforcement and getting our tow signs up.
No, Mike, I agree.
I think that's great.
Is there any public comment? Well, I think we should bring forward to the board to have it restriped this tonight.
That's fine. I was just going to suggest that I think this is within the general manager's spending limits. We could probably accomplish it sooner.
And even better.
Yeah.
So we're going to go ahead and get a restart so that we give to our board
members.
That's
perfect.
Okay.
But you know, this is a good reminder. You know, as we are growing the activities here and adding things, maybe at some point we actually should have some type of master plan for what the community center look like. Ultimately, you know, I don't know if something was ever done up during what's his name's time.
Not necessarily. His master plan is heavily outdated. We've moved things, we've changed things. No, I think we'll have to decide about our district office and what this property is going to look like, and kind of fold under all of that.
Perfect.
And since they're doing restriping, I'm assuming they looked at optimization of the parking spaces. Was that looked at, or was it?
Right, so they looked at our current striping and they believe that's optimal.
Okay.
We do have an issue on the north end because it's a square.
Yeah.
So we're gonna lose a couple, but they're gonna be designated parking spots.
Okay.
In the corner. So this is obviously isn't to scale, but it's gonna be within the specs of what a normal parking spot is.
Okay. So I didn't know if that was a spot that was conducive to the diagonals.
I brought that up and he didn't think it was going to be anymore, but when they come out we can revisit that again.
Just to make sure we're getting the best bang for the buck. But
absolutely, we're going to try to get the most spots we can, but also when filter project is done at the district office, you know, we do have staff that is parking in the gravel lot, and when that's done I think that can be utilized for overflow parking if we have those types of events.
And I think just having the stripes is going to make it so that we actually fit more cars. Because if people don't have stripes, they just kind of
go rogue.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yes.
A little bit.
Yes.
So, okay. Love it.
Can we have like director spots? Okay.
No, I don't want that.
If there's no further discussion, I think we got a good plan then for just, we'll just go with the striping then at this point. Hi, Cornell bathroom. Cornell Park bathrooms.
Your favorite topic.
Yeah.
This is my favorite topic, and I've told my boss that when this is completed, I will be taking some people out for lunch and drinks. This has been a project that has been going on for some time due to the unavailability of getting vendors that specialize in these types of projects. I was fortunate enough to get a hold of several general contractors to see if they would come out and bid this, but most of them dealt with home remodels, which would be bathrooms, kitchens, bedrooms, and insurance work. And so, but I did come across three general contractors that came out, and two of which gave me a bid, one failed to. One of the contractors advised that he was having problems finding the locking mechanisms for the gate, that he would be able to do the entire project himself. But it just made me a little leery that he was having those issues. And then I came across a vendor called Go Securities, and they specialize in this type of projects. And the pictures I have before you aren't exactly what our project would look like, because it wasn't a bathroom, but that would be the type of gate that we would have on each bathroom. There would be a strike lock that would be programmed to open up at a designated time and lock at a designated time. It's ADA compliant, we measured it, and part of ADA, you have to have no more than 5 pounds of pull to open a door, and so we would have a hydraulic, non-electric door closer. It would shut the door every time it was open, and we could program it to open a certain time, close at a certain time. As you notice in that one picture, if you could go, the handle there, if someone were to go into, let's say we had the bathrooms closing at 5 o'clock and somebody went in there, 4:55, and they were in there a while, even if that electric strike closed, they would still be able to get out. If we were renting the park during the, the weekends and so forth, and people there after 5 o'clock, we would be able to provide them with a code that they would be able to enter to bypass the strike lock, because it's already locked, and that would be the code that they could use. This vendor was the only vendor that I was able to find that offered us a cellular solution that would allow us to program these locks to open and close at certain times, put in certain codes that we could give to the people renting out our facilities. And the only caveat to that is there's a $44 to $54 monthly charge depending on the data upload and download to those locks monthly. But it would solve the problem of having staff lock and unlock, and I think it would be something that would really help staff out, and it would be beneficial to people using the bathrooms.
Did they indicate that rate, the 40 to 50 a month, would be based on usage? If there was little change, is there a, depending on the size of the download, right? So if we had a month that there was no activity changes, the winter months, for instance, those would just be on the schedule and we'd probably not rent anything out.
Correct.
Would there, I'm sure there's sometime part of that is a connection fee, and then the rest.
That would be the, we would be.
Okay, so that's just the connection fee, and then there might be overage on top of that.
It would range from $44 to $54 monthly right now. Now, obviously, okay. Very similar to our flock cameras, your prices tend to increase incrementally, so there may be some charge to that, but it's still cheaper than hiring a staff person to lock in and unlock the bathrooms every time.
Yep,
100%. If you have any other questions, I'll do my best to answer them.
Did we see the preliminary number? I didn't see.
So you had several different quotes.
Yes. So let me just explain this. And it's somewhat confusing, and I explained this to the general manager. This was an update of the staff report. So what I did was on page 2 of 3, it kind of outlines the amount of vendors that I spoke with, and then I also have 3 independent vendors that I've been working with prior to getting these 2 additional quotes, and they're all excellent vendors. The problem I was finding is that when I brought them all together and we went up on a Zoom call, it was, well, I can do this, and he can do this,
But if this happens, and it was almost getting to the point where it would be hard to hold, if the project didn't work and there were issues, it would be hard to hold a particular vendor accountable. And because we're having this as a general contractor through Go Securities, we'd have one point of contact if there were any issues with the project.
Okay, so at this point, what vendor, what are you proposing?
Staff is recommending that we go with Go Securities. Those are the pictures that you've been looking at. I've looked at their product, it suits our needs. Everything that I asked them to do for us and what we needed, what our issues were with having it lock, unlock, being able to be programmed. Monica explained to me that back in the day that there were keys going around the community and people shared them and copied them, and that would be no different than the codes if we gave the codes out. So we'd have to change those. This way we can do it remotely through our laptop, and we wouldn't have to physically go out to the individual locks and reprogram each lock, take those out and enter codes.
Being that they have the cellular connectivity, do they have any ability, like some of like the office security orders, they have the ability to detect whether or not they've been jammed open, or they have the ability to know if they were open without a code. Is there any of that in this product?
I don't know. I will make a quick and report back.
That would be interesting to know, because there could be the concept of somebody wedging something in front of the door open.
Director Gateau and I had a field trip today out to Cornell, and that was one of the points that he brought up.
Okay.
And I would imagine that if the gate was open and somebody put something between the strike plate, that's a chance that could happen. But we do have staff that's going out there and mowing the lawns and those sorts of things, and maybe they could look at it. I'm out there checking on bathrooms. I'm out in the field quite a bit. So those are things that I could check on, but I can't guarantee that wouldn't happen. But I don't think any of the solutions we're looking at are fail-safe.
Nothing's perfect. I was just curious, because with the cellular access, you're able to do this stuff. It might be something that they have where it has a strike sensor, and so it would know whether or not the door was open or closed.
I will make inquiry tomorrow.
Perfect. I think it's a good solution.
Well, I think it's a good solution because while it's a lot of money, it's still cheaper than removing the bathrooms, and so we get to keep the asset and do our best to secure it. And did they give you a time frame of how long it would take once we green light?
He didn't give me a time frame, but he said once he got approval, he would be able to move pretty quickly on it. I can also tell him that this is obviously going to go before the board tonight. So if it goes before the board tonight, again, I'll be reaching out to tomorrow to ask that question regarding the question that President Callahan asked. And I will ask his availability to start on this project.
And there's still going to be an additional cost to fix the damage and do some repainting or whatever necessary.
Correct. One of the quotes that I have in here from another vendor, even though I didn't ask him to do this, he has in his quote that if we were to pressure wash the buildings, that's $942, but I think staff can do that. Paint the interiors, $4,300, paint exterior, $5,100. In the bathroom on the south end where we had the vandalism where they put the concrete in the toilet, that toilet still has not been fixed yet. When our previous landscape manager was here, he thought it would be about $3,500 to get the plumbing and the toilet in there to get that fixed. But I didn't want to do it until we could secure the bathrooms.
And then once the bathrooms are secure, looking back at revamp or repair of the bathrooms, that might be, you were so successful with the scouts, that might be something that we could maybe use some volunteer work with one of the organizations to help with some of the labor to get that done.
Good idea.
That was an amazing project.
That was amazing.
Well, I think you've come up with a solution. I'm comfortable with it.
I am too.
I don't know if there's any public comments regarding this. Please.
Hi, guys. So, the question is, are we trading symptom here and not the cause. In some respects, you know, the kids, we, you know, closed it up, but yet they scaled over and they did more damage. I guess my question is, how secure is this for these kids who are, you know, amazing climbers? Is it gonna solve that problem? That's my question. If it is, maybe you consider motion sensors, and maybe we consider, I don't know, those things you see in the Walmart parking lots with the blue lights and cameras on top to be able to, you know, deter these guys from doing that. That's
awesome. The fencing's not going to make it military-grade security, but it's going to be enough to prevent someone from climbing over and getting inside. You can't stop people with bolt cutters and tools to change that.
Yeah, but I mean, they'll scale, right? They're young kids, they can scale.
But they'll be secure, though. The fencing will go the entire route of the building. Currently, there's like a 2 to 3 foot gap between the top of the wall and the roof. That area will be encompassed, so.
And then you had mentioned something about potentially using your amazing deer cameras or something to watch over. So, and then I think in conjunction with the Sheriff's Department, I believe that we, as a town, after putting this much effort and money into a solution, would be very aggressive in pursuing legal remedies for repair.
Great. Okay. Well, so at this point, we bring that forward to the board tonight for motion for approval. Do we have any future agenda items? Well, then at 5:24, meeting's adjourned.